Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
Whew, I'm excited. I've been saying that all day, all weekend, because everybody has delivered a powerful word, man. And I'm just going to say this. Sometimes when it comes to you doing what God called you to do, you're going to get nervous, right? You're going to get nervous. I look at this conference, and I was talking to Brother Richard last night, and he's not here today, but we were talking about doing another conference for his ministry, and I was like, man, I was scared to do this. And I was like, why? Why was I scared? I've done events my whole life. But the enemy put fear there. Why? Because the enemy knows if he can prevent you from moving forward with fear, you won't reach the destiny that God has for you. Even just this weekend, God has moved. Amen. And this is not to say that, oh, Marquise, you're such a great believer. This is just one of the battles that I had to win. Amen. And I'm just going to encourage each and every one of you. God has put a battle in front of you, and you need to win it. You need to win it. When I think about the life of a warrior, I think a lot about, like I said earlier at the beginning of the conference, as I was praying on what to call this conference, and this is going to be the permanent name. Somebody say the permanent name. It ain't changing. Last year I had Deliverance, Freedom, and Liberty Young Adult Conference. And then my dad was talking to me, and this is why you get wisdom. You got to listen, you know. He was like, get one name and stick to that name. So I was like, what do I want to call it? And God just began to speak to me of what did I love in the Bible? Warriors. Man, I listen, look. Some people, and I'm just going to say this, and I didn't even get started yet, but some people are weekend warriors. You're a good warrior on the weekend. You know how to do church on the weekend. You're powerful on the weekend, but when you go through that week, you're weak. Right? Because you're so close to God, you're with the church people, you know how to do it well, but when you go back to your own home and your own job and your own life, you have to be a warrior there. I think I look at some of the great exploits that God has allowed me to witness in my life. Most of them happen not at church. Not at church. I was inviting people to this event, and I have a text list, and you know I make it so that people know. You know, I'm not sending a blast to everybody, so I send it to you know everybody. And this lady was like, "Oh, you got the wrong number," you know, and I was quickened by the Spirit to just tell her that, man, okay, I'm going to delete your phone number, but I want you to know that God loves you and he has a plan and a purpose for your life. And just, okay, we'll see what happens. If they be like, thank you, delete. She said, amen, right? And then she said, can you pray? So I sent her a text prayer. And somebody, like God can use the prayer lines, like he said. He can use text lines. Like, that's the powerful thing about God. I send a text prayer. She's like, pray for my sister. She's in the hospital. She didn't even tell me what's going on, but I prayed, and I expected God to move. And I told her in the next text, I said, so when God moves, let me know. Let me know so that we can glory in God together. Listen, the next morning, come on, somebody need to shout already. You guys don't know what's happening, though, but let me let you know what happened. The next morning, she texts me and like, my sister is healed. Now, I don't know what she got healed by yet, so I'm reading. I'm jumping up like, come on, God. She was like, she had an issue with her brain. She went to the doctor, and the doctor said, there's nothing wrong with you. And she was like, I can't believe this happened. Like, she's just praising God. And I didn't know where her faith was at. I didn't know that wasn't. That's not what I'm looking for. But she believed, and she told her sister, and her sister's like, man. So now she texts me every day, please pray for me. You know, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to keep on praying because I believe in the power of prayer. For us, that's a part of being a warrior. Amen. Amen. I'm going to preach on the life of a warrior. I might have a couple of subtitles. You got some of my notes over there. But back in the day, there was a rap group, and they weren't gospel. But they said, there's a war going on outside no man is safe from. Right? That was from Mobb Deep. Anybody know who Mobb Deep is? All right, some of y'all are like, well, I ain't never heard that before. But there's a war going on. I ain't heard it either. I just heard it. It's one of the most repeated lines that I hear in hip-hop, though. There's a war going on outside no man is safe from. And when I look at these words resonate so true. There's a war. You are not safe from the war that is going on right now. There is no way that you can just get by. You can duck. You know what I'm saying? You're not Spider-Man shooting webs and, oh, that bullet missed me. You know, like, the war is going on. Right? And, I mean, we when we watch some of those fantasy movies, what we get to see is how incredible that person is. It's like everything that happens doesn't faze them, but something is going to faze you. Something is going to faze you. Something is going to make you stop, make you feel down. Something is going to make you say, man, I can't do this on my own. Like he said, the only way you get power and the power is enabled in you is when you are in the presence of God. Amen. I remember doing praise and worship, leading praise and worship. And there was a time where God's presence just came and we couldn't stop doing praise and worship. I looked at Pastor Nell, I was like, you want me to keep going? He's just like, keep going. We worshiped the whole service. And after the service, I didn't want to leave because, like, and I'm going to just say this, I never did any drugs in my life, but I know I was gone that day. I was in the presence of God, and it, being in that presence, I was like, wow. Like, I wasn't worried about whatever was going on in my life. That's the power of prayer. That's the power of worship. That's the power of praise. Getting into his presence, amen? And if you want to be a warrior, these are things that you have to do. There's a war going on outside no man is safe from. No woman is safe from, amen? As I was getting ready, as soon as, it's crazy, I had this message ready 3 months ago. I was telling Jamie, and I was like, man, I don't know. There's so much stuff I want to put in this. But I was like, I'm just going to let God do what he did. He already gave this to me as soon as he gave me this title. So one of my favorite passages on scripture, and I'm going to encourage everybody, read through the Bible on your own. If you don't read through the Bible, you're going to miss a lot. There's a lot in the Bible that even if you go to church week after week, you're not going to understand unless you go read it for yourself. I was reading this scripture, and this, when I read this, I was like, oh my goodness. This inspired me for my life. This made me want to do something after I read this that I never wanted to do before. Or I just didn't see it clearly pointed in the scriptures. Amen. So we're going to go to 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 8 through 39. This is going to be my feature scripture for today. And when you say feature, this is the one we're going to be on for a while. So you're going to have to do a little bit of reading. I did try to practice some of these names, but Bible names is a whole nother language. Amen. Hallelujah. What did I say? 2 Samuel chapter 23. And we're going to start at verse 8. And let me get it myself. And let me just say right before this is David on his deathbed. All right. David on his deathbed. And, you know, most of the time people will be sad. Oh, David's about to die. But they started reminiscing. Number one, about who David was. He's one of the warriors that we see the most of because we see him in his ups and we see him in his downs. We see him when he was praying to God in the Psalms, like, God, I don't know if I can make it, but I will still trust you. Amen. We see him coming back in, and everybody's excited because he just slain 1,000. And now they got a new song saying David slayed 1,000, 10,000. Saul slain 1,000, David slain 10,000. Right. And David wasn't the king, but they were already making him king. Right. So we see David go through these ups and downs. We see him even join the enemy and start routing other people. You know, like David was a crazy warrior. I mean, like we look at David and Goliath and we tell our kids, oh, yeah, he hit the big guy with a rock and he died. David cut his head off after that. And then he put it on a platter and ran through the camp. And it was like, yeah. I mean, it was like a football Super Bowl. You know how they host the Super Bowl trophy? That's what he did with Goliath's head. That's what he did. And he didn't do it just to say, I'm the man. He said, I'm only doing this because this dude talked about my God. He talked about my God. Now, in the Old Testament, we see a lot of times where there was combat between man and other men because many of those men did not want to follow God. In the New Testament, we see the same battle, but it is now with the spiritual realm. We don't see too many in the New Testament, and the disciples went to go slay. We don't see that at all. Right? Because now we look at the new covenant that we have in God. Now he has written it on our hearts. We don't go kill other people's hearts because that's not what we do. But each man has his own battles. Let's look at these mighty men of David. Amen. It says, these are the name of the mighty men whom David had. Josheb, Bashebeth, I told you, you got to keep with me to these names, okay? The Tachamite, chief among the captains. He was called Adino the Esnite because he had killed 800 men at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo. I know that one. The Aoite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines who were gathered there for battle. And the men of Israel had retreated. He arose and attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand stuck to the sword. Listen, man, like, I see a movie already, man. You can take every one of these. This is two stories. You can make an hour movie. Like, and let me tell you how many he slayed, too, because just in case you're missing. He didn't kill just two people. It says, the Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to plunder. I'm sorry. Did I skip something? Okay. So, and after him was Shammah. So it didn't tell us how many, but it was a lot. He was in battle mode, warrior mode, like, I'm killing anything that comes next to me. Like, they said his arm, like, I don't know if you have ever experienced somebody freezing like that. And not only was he was freezing to something that was protecting him. He was freezing with something that was bringing about deliverance for his people. Amen? I'm excited about this already. What verse am I at? 11. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Herite. The Philistines had gathered together in a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. So the people fled from the Philistines. So that's God's people. They're running away, right? Then it says, but he stationed himself in the middle of the field, defended it, and killed the Philistines by himself. By himself. So the Lord brought about a great victory. Then three of the 30 chief men went down at harvest time and came to David at the cave of Adullam. And a troop of the Philistines encamped. And Brother Sentai, you talked about encamped, right? That means they're surrounded around them. All right, they were encamped. Look at how God puts things together. In the valley of Rephaim. David was then in the stronghold. And the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David said with longing, Somebody say with longing. Oh, that someone would give me a drink of the water from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. All right, now, you in camp, and David asking for some special water, right? Give me that miracle water from Bethlehem, right? Now, some of us don't believe in miracle water, but David must have. And then it says, so the three mighty men, somebody say so, broke through the camp of the Philistines, drew water from the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink it. Now, come on, man. Come on. He want that miracle water, right? They risked their lives, go through and it wasn't just no, oh, let's just hop on this bike and ride through and go get that water for them. No, they risked their lives. These are mighty men. They risked their lives to go get this water for David. And David's like, nah, man, I'm not drinking that. But pour it out to the Lord. So we see who really got to drink this, right? And he said, far be it from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is this not the blood of men who went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it. These things were done by the three mighty men. Now, Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zerah, was chief of another three. I'm sorry. No, three. He lifted his spear against 300 men, killed them, and won a name among these three. Now, not only are there's these mighty men, you got some that got a higher name, a higher reputation. It's awesome just to see, like, and I'm going to finish this story, but it's just awesome to see why they are remembered. I heard a pastor say, people in the Bible, if their name is not there, they didn't do nothing special. There's a lot of names in here I'm trying to figure out right now. And their names were prolonged because they wanted to do something mighty for God. Amen? I look at these stories And I hate to even call them stories. I look at what happened here. This is real life. This is real stuff to show how David inspired these guys. David had a legacy that was passed on to these men. When I read that, I was like, God, I want to have that same legacy. If I can have 37, as it's going to tell us, 40 men that saw my life and said, I'm going to do something mighty for God. That's powerful. I read this and I immediately started praying, God, help me to be able to impact people. And sometimes you don't see all of them. We're not going to see them on this physical earth. You know, I look at some of the seasoned saints, amen, and the ones that they've impacted. They might have impacted more than 40. I mean, I'm just looking at this story like, I want to hear it, though, right before I go. You know what I'm saying? David's hearing about all this stuff. They're reminiscing. But it's powerful because David left a legacy, and it was a legacy of a warrior. Amen? All right, verse 19. Was he not the most honored of the three? Therefore, he became their captain. However, he did not attain to the first three. So it's kind of like he's one of them, but he's not one of the top three, okay? All right. Benaiah was the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man from Kabzeel, who had done many deeds. He had killed two lions like heroes of Moab. Okay, so at first I thought it was lions, but it was lion-like. All right, now I don't know what those people look like. They probably had their beard growing. It was No Shave November or something, right? It was looking kind of funny. He also had gone down and killed a lion in the midst of a pit on a snowy day. Now, who's doing stuff like that, man? Come on a snowy day? Let me go into it. He probably was cold. You know, this is why, you know, there's stories in the Bible. You can always kind of give the story behind the story, right? This man was probably cold because it was snowing. They didn't have a car, so he was probably walking back home. He saw a den or a pit. It was like, man, I think I can stay warm in there. But a lion was in there, right? So he had to make a decision. Man, I'm freezing. Either go back out in the cold or kill this lion and stay warm. And the Bible tells us what he did. Amen. It says, and he killed an Egyptian, a spectacular man. All right, not just no winky dinky dude. A spectacular man. The Egyptian had a spear in his hand. So he went down to him with the staff. So it's a spear against a staff. Come on, man. Listen to what's going on. These stories are so powerful. He doesn't have the upper hand. It already said that he was a spectacular Egyptian. But he wrestled the spear out the Egyptian's hand and killed him with his own spear. Verse 22, that says, these things Benaiah the son of Jehoiada did, and won a name among three mighty men. He was more honored than the 30, but he did not attain to the first three. And then David appointed him over his guard. Now, David was smart. He just did that. Yeah. I mean, you got to think about David. David was like, when David built his army, it wasn't no slouches. Right? Like, man, we don't really see how much warfare these guys went through. But it was constant warfare. And like I said, in the spiritual, we go through the same constant warfare. And you got to make sure the people around you are for real. Man, the worst thing, and I've been seeing, and like I said, I've seen some people die for Jesus, being beheaded. And it's one of the most gruesome things I ever saw. But in the midst of it, I saw the joy that was in the brother's eyes that was beheaded. I couldn't explain it. I was like, man, this dude, he's not even tripping. But the Bible says that when your eyes aren't fixed on the Lord, he'll keep you in perfect peace. And it was actually funny because I read that Bible during our Bible study, and that's what the word was talking about. It was God keeping us in peace. But the war that we're going through is so necessary to make sure you got people that are around you. Because when the time happens like that, I'm not getting sold out by somebody that's next to me. I don't want that to happen. What's the worst thing to do is to be betrayed by somebody that kissed you on the cheek. Jesus had it. That was the worst. Like, that's your dude. Hey, what's up, homie? Kiss you. Right? And they're like, yeah, when I kiss him, that's him. And then as soon as he kiss him, like, even before the noise is done, it's like, oh, yeah, that's him. Like, now, we don't have to have another Judas. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're supposed to follow Jesus, but not in that aspect of having a Judas around, right? But I don't want somebody around me that's not serious about this warfare. I'm not going to go ask for somebody who doesn't know how to really pray to pray for me. I'm not going to ask somebody to intercede on my behalf to help me walk through it if they don't know how to walk through it. That's the worst thing to do. We don't go to unprofessionals when you need to get your car fixed. Well, if you do, you probably have some issues with it after that. And then it's more to fix it than it started in the beginning. It was $300. It was an easy job. You go to this dude, I'll do it for 20. He messed your car up, right? And now you're like, oh, man, this is worse than before. You don't want those people around you. Amen? You got to make sure you have the right people around you. Then after that, after David appointed the guard, it gives all the people's names. And it says at the end of verse 39, there was 37 in all. David impacted 37 men's lives to follow after him in a legacy to defend their God. Amen. 37 men that had, and it didn't even give us all the different stories about all of them, but we just get to see the power of David's life. David started at a young age. He started killing bears and lions, you know, and in his spare time. Right? Like, I'm watching the sheep. Oh, man, ain't nothing to do out here. Oh, there's a lion. Let me get that cat, literally. Let me get him. Right? I mean, just think about it. And it didn't just say he hit him with a rock. It said he wrestled with these things as a kid. Like, these are spectacular things that happened, but God used this to train him, not only to train him, but to train others. And I want to talk to you. If you are a warrior, it's not just for you. People are watching you go through the warfare that you're going through. And if they're watching you when you fold, they're going to fold. David was a leader. David was a warrior. He was respected, and David was a king. And the Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. Amen. That's interesting, because nowadays we think we just got to be humble and meek and keep it on the low and, you know, just love God and thank God for his mercy and his grace. And that's part of it. Amen. But when it comes to warfare, you got to get loud. You got to get loud. When it comes to prayer, this is what I love about my wife. She's a quiet person. She's humble. She knows God got grace. She, you know, like I just said, all of that stuff. But when she prays, she get loud. Like, I be like, hey, turn it down just a little bit. But I be like, no, I ain't going to say that. Why? Because she's moving in the warfare. She as soon as she prays, it's like she switches into a superhero, right? Because she is making intercession, and she's doing it, and she believes it with all her heart. Now, the problem with some of us, we don't believe it with all our heart. So when we're praying, we're like, oh, God, maybe you can, if it's not too hard. No, we expect it to happen. A warrior doesn't go to war thinking that, I might come back. Right? He don't think that. He said, I'm coming back and we're going to win. We're going to win. We're going to demolish them. And I'm coming back and I'm going to get a new medal. Right? If you go thinking, I remember, you know, I didn't play football as long as some people, but I played football. I didn't play as long as my dad and Chamie. But I played football. My brother played football too. Now, I had to go hit my brother one time, and it wasn't a pretty thing. But I ain't even going to use him as example no more. When you hit some people, what they do is they shrink back. Right, listen, like, I don't care how big you are. I'm not going to shrink back. I'm going to hit you as hard as I can. Even if I get blasted, at least I can say I went with all that I had. People that shrink back, they're the ones that get hurt the fastest. Because they, oh, don't hit me. Right, I mean, we all know people that when they're going through something, they're like, oh, I don't want to be hit no more. They're not. And what happens is, as Chase has shown us, they get beat down to the ground even before the war starts. Man, you were just getting suited up. That wasn't even war. You just walk out the door. I remember me and Marcel, we went to do street ministry the first time. We were off of Rainier over there in Columbia City. Me and him walk out the door, the very first person, I was just like, hey, man, Jesus loves you, bro. He started cussing us out. You remember this, bro? And I was like, wow. Dang, all I said was, Jesus loves you. You going to do me like that? But we walked away from him, and I told Marcel, I said, look, that's just a distraction. We could have stopped, though. We could have said, And me and Chamie and Marcel, we've done a lot of street ministry where that stuff happens. Since how you done street ministry, and it happens. But you can either stop and say, I don't want to get cussed out no more. And then you lose that battle. Or you can say, that was a distraction. And now what we learn to do is get somebody that is a distraction, distract them. Right? Get them away from the whole situation and minister to the person that God has sent you. Because even when you're ministering, when God is already doing stuff, you're seeing the walls that are the Jericho in their lives beginning to fall. The enemy sends somebody else to say some random stupid stuff like, did you see the game? In the middle of, man, bro, God is trying to get you in the game. So what we do, we learn, just get him out the way. Like we go through, when we did so much street stuff, there was some people I'd be like, man, shut up in the name of Jesus. And they did. And it wasn't just random people. It was people that were filled with spirits. Like people that we didn't know would walk by. And it just happened when I was praying. My dad says, I pray out there. There was a guy, he walked on the other side of the street. And he's lucky he was on the other side. But he started cussing me out, like under his, and I ain't even said nothing to him. And I didn't say no cuss word either. But he's just like, and you know there's something. And I said, man, you can be delivered in Jesus' name. He starts getting louder. Man, look, I heard him all the way down the block. Why? And he didn't come because this is deliverance. If you want deliverance, this is where it is. I'm not going to be scared. And like my dad said, I used to be scared of the devil. I used to have bad dreams. When I was young, the devil was doing all kind of stuff. He'd just hop out of nowhere and just scare you. You wake up, you know, like, and it's so crazy because they feel so real. Like, it'd be in the same room. You'd be in the same position, and you see the devil do something. But I remember one time I had a dream, and I wasn't scared of the devil anymore. And when he gave me that dream, I cast that demon out. See, I cast that demon out. And I was like, man, I wasn't scared. So now when those dreams come, I'm like, okay, God, there's a war going on. And I need to step up to the call to bat to answer whatever you need me to do. If I need to pray for somebody, we need to pray that this be torn out of them. Amen. Some of us are so fearful of moving forth in God. So we're being at a place where we're just still. And I know God says, be still and know that I am God, but that ain't what I'm talking about. There's a purpose and a vision that he's given your life, and you have to move on it. Amen. Dr. Miles Monroe, we all know he just passed away, a mighty man of God. He said this, you are not important because of how long you live. You are important because of how effective you live. You are not important because of how long you live. You are important because of how effective you live. When it comes to your walk with Christ, how do you measure effectiveness? How do we measure it? It has to be measured by people seeing God in your life. People, have you ever been to a place and they come up to you and be like, man, when you come in, you change the atmosphere. When you man, this place was going downhill fast, but you came in and you changed it. When you pray, like we have the ability as a warrior in Christ to change the atmosphere. Amen. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 and 4. When you got it, you can say amen. I said this a little bit earlier. It says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah, the Lord is everlasting strength. Now, one of the key opponents of a warrior is having strength to maneuver through whatever battle you're going through, right? If you don't have strength, you're not going to make it. But it says you have to keep your eyes on Jesus. It also said, trust in the Lord. My wife talked about that earlier. You have to trust God in this war. You can't do it on your own strength. I think some of us, sometimes we get to a place where we think we can do it on our own strength, and God has to break that down from us. That's what's called pride. You're prideful. You think you got it, but God has to break that from you so that you can move in his strength, because your strength can get you so far. Brother Centayo said, there's a way that seems right, and this is what the word says, to a man, but In the end, it leads to death because you try to do it in your own power. You try to do it in your own power. You said, I got this. I can handle this. I'm going to do it by myself. And doing it by yourself is going to get you killed in this war. Amen. When we talk about death and killing in this sense, the enemy is coming to kill who you are in God. If he can kill that, he's good. You could be famous, you can be successful and everything else, but if he kills who you are in God, he won the battle. And that's the crazy thing, like you think you're doing good. And some of us are so focused on all these other things that we're not focused on our mission in God, and you are slowly being killed by the enemy. That's why the Bible, I'm getting ahead of myself because I'm going to go to that verse. But we have to trust in God and trust in his strength. Amen. We're going to talk about the Hall of Fame for a warrior. A Hall of Fame is a celebration of the best. Celebration of the best, the elite of the elite, the warriors that stood the test. That whole story about David, that was a Hall of Fame list. Amen. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 12 through 17, and we're going to see the Hall of Fame of a warrior. Amen. It says, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one. I think that's the key to being in the Hall of Fame as a warrior is to overcome. As a warrior, the only way that you know that you're good is if you overcome something. This is why the Bible talks about not letting a novice preach or not letting a novice be having a place, because they're thinking they're doing it and they're doing it in their own strength. They haven't went through a test yet, so they can't be refined as, okay, he got it, right? That's why it's important. Even Pastor Nate, I really enjoyed when he did the ordination, because he gave a lot of instructions that were qualifications of what it means to become a pastor or a leader. In today's church, you see people get saved. They was worldly one day. They get saved. And 2 weeks later, they start a church. Right? And since they haven't been battle tested, they might have won some rap battles. They might have won some score battles. They were great in whatever they did. But because the spiritual life is so different from this flesh life, it's a whole nother life. You don't let your baby drive your car. Right? Man, I got kids, and my kids better not touch anything related to the car moving. Right? Or it's going to be an issue. But we don't let them drive. But if you get saved today, we let them drive. We let them lead whoever. Hey, man, we're getting in the carpool lane. Come on, we got the easy way. Let's go. But unless we let them be matured through the battles, through the tests, they're going to fall. And that's why we see a lot of people start off and they fall. And this is not to glorify the fall. That's not what I'm here to do. But it is our job, even as leaders, to make sure we don't push somebody to the edge. We don't get them set up and say, all right, yeah, praise the Lord, now go. Have faith. On the way down, trust God. We don't do that. Here's another thing for the Hall of Fame. It says in verse 15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. He who does the will of God abides forever. Now, it says something earlier in that passage, love. Like I said, we were singing, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. But I said, it's a difference when you love God. It's a difference when you love God. Everybody is going to love something in this life. Right? There's something that you love right now. I love my wife. Thank God. I love God. I got a song called I'm in Love with Jesus. And the other people that came and they were like, hey, yeah, we're going to Pastor Marquise's church. They don't even know my name. But they're like, who Pastor Marquise? They were like, the guy that sings that I'm in love with Jesus. Oh, yeah, we know him. Why did I do that? Because I want them to know that I love Jesus. We tell them, I don't care if you don't remember my name. But when you see me, know that he loves God. That's key in my life. If you see me and it don't look like I'm loving God, come talk to me. For real. Loving God is essential to becoming the warrior that he wants us to be. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 through 5. It says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So if you want to know how you get the victory, it's in our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, let me talk about faith and belief. You have to believe this thing. It's for real. There's going to be times where you're going to be tested in your faith. I've been tested. Has anybody else been tested? All right, Pastor Nate. You heard Pastor Nate say, amen. He's been in this for a long time. But he's been battle tested. His faith has been tested. There's going to be times, and I had a conversation with Marcel and Chamian where you feel like you're doing all that you can and you're not seeing earthly results. You ministering to people, those people that you minister to, they want to go somewhere else. It's great somewhere else. It's just like, man, God, I want to make sure I'm doing the right thing. You know, and sometimes we look at that, and I remember Pastor Nate had a powerful story where he was preaching to just his family, and I've done that. I preach just to my family on the church service, and I don't care if it's just my family. I'm going to preach like it's full. But when I remember Pastor Nate said he was preaching to just his family, and he began to hear the angels clapping because he moved forth, and his faith did not shake. His faith did not shake. So even when it doesn't look like you're being effective, God still sees you as being effective. So you have to look in the eyes of God, not your own eyes. Your perception or your perspective has to be God's perspective. And so many times we look at how many people come to my church to determine success, spiritual success. We look at how many people fell out when I prayed. Right? We look at the wrong things, but look at what God is already beginning to do. Ask God, even if you feel like you're not doing the right thing, God, how do I do what you want me to do? I heard a rapper, and I listened to a lot of Christian rap music. He said, Abraham, in some people's eyes, it didn't look like he did a great job. He built this big ark, and the only people that got in was his family. Noah, I'm sorry. Man, I'm tripping. Yeah, help me out. Noah, Abraham, I'll talk about Abraham. Anyway, Noah built this ark, and he told people to come on, man, the flood's coming. He was preaching to them, telling them to come on, because it's about to go down. It's about to rain down, right? And they ain't even seen it before, but he's prophesying, telling them what's going to happen, and nobody came in but Noah and his family. But was he successful in God's eyes? He was obedient. Sometimes our success as warriors is not going to be measured by hand claps. Matter of fact, if you're looking for hand claps, you look in the wrong place. You could be the people's champ or you could be God's champion. You can look, the Bible says you can please God or you can please man. You can't do both. Paul said, I'm not here to please none of you. Because at the end of the day, you don't got a heaven or hell to put me in. You don't have the, did he pass the test? God is the only one grading us. Now you get flack from people. Like, I wish the carpet was this color. I wish the church praise and worship sang this song. Like, who cares about that stuff? Like, that's your opinions. I'm only focused on God's opinion. Amen. And as a warrior, you have to make sure that's what you're focused on. Amen. Somebody say the Hall of Fame of a warrior. I got a few more things and we're going to get out of here. It says the legacy of a warrior is next. The legacy of a warrior. We talked about that earlier with David. What is legacy? Legacy is an amount of money, and some people like this right here, or property left to someone in a will, right? That's one. Number two is a thing handed down by a predecessor or someone who came before, right? A thing that's handed down. Now, some of us only look at material things that are handed down. I look at my dad. He handed down purity to me. He handed down loving God to me. Pastor Nate handed down loving God to me. Pastor Nate handed down having peace in God. Because, man, I don't know how he does it. I had to ask him, how you not go off when your kids be doing that stuff? Right? I'm like, good God. Man, I need that peace in my life. But what I'm saying is sometimes we only look at a material thing, but the legacy that a believer can leave, the biggest legacy they can leave is a spiritual legacy. Amen. I'm going to talk about the war for purity. There's a war for purity. It starts in your mind. All these battles start in your mind. Now, everybody will be tempted by evil. Because evil is in you. Oh, did he say that? Evil is in you. I don't care how long you've been saved, evil is still in you. Because you're not fully sanctified, and the only way that happens is when you're with God. So when evil comes, you have two options: to stand and rebuke or entertain it. Or entertain it. Now, I'm a man that I have never looked at pornography in my life. Why? Not because I'm some superman, but because anytime something like that came, I blocked it. I made a decision to block it. Now I got my son, right? And I even see, like, some of these commercials, I got to block them. I don't want my son, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I have to block things out. When you see a woman and you say, man, she's not my wife. There's a battle that's going on right there. And if you want to be victorious, you got to win that battle. You got to say, God, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. When I was in high school, one minister came and he said, you can't lust and pray for somebody's spiritual well-being at the same time. Now, some of you can pray for the wrong thing, like, God, I need that. Right? But if you pray that God help them see who they really are, help me not you begin to move that thought from a thought of lust to God, break any chain of lust that's in that person and in me. Take it out, God. That's how you win the battle every day. Let's go to Philippians 4, verse 4 through 9. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. That's part of the battle right there. Rejoicing. Because God has already did it. Amen. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Right? It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. That's part of the war right there as well. Some of us are anxious. I can't wait, right? God is just saying, wait just a little bit. I can't. Wait just a little bit, Marquise. I can't do it, man, God. I've been waiting like 15 months, Lord. Like, God is eternity. He's like 15 months. Come on, man. Like, that was 15 months already? Wow. All right, man. See, I'm not even in your time zone. So it was like, it just felt like a minute to me. But it says, be anxious and pray. It doesn't just say pray. It says pray with thanksgiving. Sometimes we pray and we don't have thanksgiving. And so God ain't hearing those prayers. It's a prayer of frustration. Has anybody ever been mad at God? I've been mad at God. And when you pray like that, what you're really praying is, God, you better listen to me. Right? I got something to tell you. I'm not really feeling what you got going on right now in my life. And what God does when you have a relationship with him, he's like, sit down, boy. Shut your mouth. You hear because you did not listen. You put yourself in that's what God begins to tell you. You put yourself in this situation because, and remember at this one point where I told you to do this, you made a decision not to do it because you thought that was just a stupid idea when I gave it to you. Now you're paying the repercussions of not doing what I told you to do. So now you're praying for me to do something that if you would have just listened in the first place, it was right there. And so when God tells you that, you be like, okay, God, sorry. How can we go back? Right? How can we wreck the... Well, what happens is you have to get your perspective right with who God is. God is not some boy. God is not your homie like that you could come and say, I'm upset with you because you didn't do it how I wanted to do it. You're not controlling God. God controls you. Amen? He controls you. Man, God could do so many things, and thank God he doesn't do some. Thank him for his mercy and his grace. It says, in a warrior, you're going to go through war, but guess what? You can have peace even in a war. And it said, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So even in the midst of a war, you can have peace. Now, that sounds like an oxymoron. Right? In war, I have peace. Why? Because I trust God. Not because I'm thinking this, and I'm thankful when I'm praising God because I know he's already won this thing. When you go in with that mindset, you're going to win. And then this is part of the battle too. It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Now, I know some people, they listen to secular music, right? When you listen to secular music, what it really means is secular means without God, right? That's the definition of secular. When you listen to secular music, and the Spirit of God will take this further with you, if you might go home and listen to secular music, hey, that's on you. But this scripture says meditate on things that are just. Meditate on things that are pure. Meditate on these things. When you listen to music, you are meditating on something. Something is getting in your spirit. Anybody, if you listen, turn on a radio today, and they got a song calling people all out of their name and all kind of stuff. And then you see people singing it like, yeah, that's me. I love this song. What's the song talking about? You're worthless. Right? But they begin to meditate on it. So what happens is it begins to attack their spirit. It begins to latch onto their spirit. So when they go to try to even hear the voice of God, because they've been meditating on the wrong things, they can't hear his voice clearly. Now you need to be cleaned out. You need a clearance. It says, these things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. Sometimes the peace that you want is not in your life because you're meditating on the wrong things. You're going through war and now you meditate. Just like Chamion was saying, the guy on the sidelines, he wasn't with them. He was thinking about the wrong things. He should have been thinking about, if I was in that play, I would do this. And you, some of you don't know what I'm talking about. That's why you got to get the podcast. And it's free, okay? We ain't selling nothing. But God wants you to meditate on the right things. Amen? There's a war for your children, as I said. The Bible says that a just man leaves a legacy for his children's children. Amen? As I said, it's a spiritual thing. I guard my kids. I'm not one of them people that anybody that says, hey, can your kid come spend a night? Heck no. I don't know you. I have to know you. Not only do I have to know you, I have to know your spirit. Because I'm not allowing my kids to face something that I could have guarded them from. That's one of the worst things to have in your mind the rest of your life. Man, I failed as a parent because I didn't guard them from this. So my job every day is to make sure my kids are protected spiritually, physically, mentally. I even got to watch how I speak to them. I could tell my kids, man, you're stupid. What the heck were you thinking? Right? And all they're going to hear is dad said, I'm stupid. And it's going to take a week before they get over that. You know, yeah, somebody said longer. Yeah, it might take longer. I didn't think about that. No, just playing. But what happens is we have to watch and we have to guard our children. That's my legacy. My parents raised me up. I want to raise my kids up the exact same way. I don't look at nothing that they did in my life that made me do something wrong. They led me the right way. I saw them pray. I saw them discipline. Somebody say discipline. I was disciplined. I stopped getting whoopings, though, when I figured out that if I don't do wrong, I don't get a whooping. And that was it was 12. I don't know if that was early or late, but for me, that was good enough. Right? I was like, man, I don't want to. Even when as an older brother, it was my job to help guard my brothers. If I knew something was going wrong and I just let them do it, I wasn't my brother's keeper. And that's my job as a parent to understand there's a war going on for my kids. And David, he had a war for his kids. Sometimes he lost some wars. Some of the legacies that even David passed on to Solomon was a womanizer. And that was the fall of the kingdom. And he was a man after God's own heart. But he lost that battle. So we have to make sure, and even when we do, I don't want to come hard on nobody because this is a learning experience. This battle that you're going through is a learning experience. If you do the same thing over and over, that's your fault. You should learn from the first time. If you make a mistake, don't do it again. Amen. Warriors reproduce other warriors. Warriors reproduce other warriors. You look at Elijah. In the Bible, Elijah, as a man of God, and that might be somebody else over there that their alarm goes off every week. Yeah, so just so somebody could check just in case. But most of okay. So Elijah produced another warrior named Elisha, right? They tagged on to him like, man, this, like, it was so amazing. Just think about what made Elisha want to follow Elijah. He saw how powerful he was. He was like, oh, my goodness, this dude is, man, I need to be around him. And that's what warriors will do. I'm gonna go to a woman warrior. Is that all right? Because a lot of times we preach and it's only men and women did things in the Bible, too. God is not a respecter of person. That means he includes women. That means women have a call on their life. That means women can move forth in the power of God. That means women are special in God's eyes. Amen. And we need to make sure we're not pushing them down saying, hey, that ain't you. Everybody want to check their alarm now, huh? Yeah, like I said, it's probably the same alarm. Amen. It said when Ehud died or was dead, now he was the leader before, the children, and he was a left-handed guy too. He was pretty tough. He killed somebody with a left hand. He shook him with his right hand and killed him with his left hand. Wow. That was a warrior. Anyway, the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. I think brother said that they did evil in the sight of the Lord. It's funny because evil just keeps on happening. Why? Because people want to do their own thing. So the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazar. The commander of his army was Sisera, who dwelt in Harosheth Hagoyim. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, for Jabin had 900 chariots of iron, and for 20 years he had harshly oppressed the children of Israel. I wasn't even supposed to read that, but that's okay. It says, now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time. So she was the leader. Women, you need to be a leader. Not over your household, though. Okay? Let's get it. All right. You're the second leader when you have a husband. All right? Matter of fact, you lead together. All right, that's what the word says, because it says they should honor their husband as a weaker vessel, but then it says husbands honor the weaker vessel. Make sure there's a nice little, but if you got to make a decision, I understand too. All right, anyway, let's keep on going. And she would, let's listen to the word of God. And it says, and she would sit under the palm tree of Deborah, between Ramah and the Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. Then she sent and called for Barak. So she called for Barak, all right? Barak didn't come. She had to send for this dude because he was sloughing. And look what she says. She says, Barak, the son of Abinoam from Kadesh. She probably didn't say that. She just said, send for Barak. But in the Bible, they give us all that name just so you know who it is. It says, has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, go and deploy troops at Mount Tabor, take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and of the sons of Zebulun, and against you I will deploy Sisera, the person that was ruining them, right? The commander of Jabin's army with his chariots and his multitudes at the river Kishon, and I will deliver him into your hand. And then Barak said to her, if you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go. All right? So, let me read this next verse. So she said, I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, there will be no glory for you in the journey you are taking. Now, that's not, you don't want that. But it said, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. That's interesting because she didn't say me. And I'm talking about warriors reproducing other warriors. All right? Then it said, then Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. So Deborah's going. So she promised that it was going to be given to another woman, right? So they go to war. Let's go to verse 14. Then Deborah said to Barak, up, for this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. Now, one of the things about her being a leader, she had a connection with God. All right. This is the problem. If anybody doesn't have a connection with God, you're not going to be a great leader. She already knew they were going to win. She told them, like, if you go by yourself, he said, I'm not going by myself. I need your help. So he says, hey, when we go, we're going to win. Like I told you earlier, a warrior goes knowing they're going to win because it's already been won. God already showed her that it was going to be won. Amen? So it says, into the hand, has not the Lord gone out before you? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor and 10,000 men following him. And the Lord routed. Somebody say routed. That means it was pretty bad. Sisera and all the chariots and all his army with the edge of the sword before Barak. And Sisera alighted from his chariot and fled away on foot. All right, so God already destroyed everything that made them spectacular. But Barak pursued the chariots and the army as far as Harosheth Hagoyim. Man, that city, good Lord. And all the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword. Not a man was left. Somebody say, not a man was left. However, Sisera, the only one left, had fled away on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife, somebody say the wife, of Heber the Kenite. For there was peace between Jabin, king of Hazar, and the house of Heber the Kenite. Now, I don't know what made Jael, there was peace there. You guys see that? And then it says, and Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, turn aside, my lord, turn aside to me. Do not fear. And when he had turned aside with her in the tent, she covered him with a blanket. Then he said to her, please give me a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. So she opened up a jug of milk, because it makes you strong, gave him a drink and covered him. It probably made him sleepy, too, because I do that to my daughter. She'll go right to sleep. And he said to her, stand at the door of the tent. And if any man comes in, inquires of you and says, is there any man here? You shall say no. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a tent peg and took a hammer in her hand and went softly to him. And drove the peg into his temple. And it went down into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary, and he died. And then as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him and said, come, I will show you the man who you seek. And when he went into the tent, there lay Sisera dead with the peg in the temple. So on that day, God subdued Jabin, king of Canaan, in the presence of the children of Israel. And the hand of the children of Israel grew stronger and stronger against Jabin, king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan. Amen. Now, Deborah didn't win this thing, but because she was a warrior, the same spirit of a warrior was sent to Jael. So when you women are walking in the power and the anointing of God, you can send that same warrior spirit to these women coming up. Amen. God wants warriors to begot warriors. The Bible says, flesh can beget flesh, but spirit begets flesh, spirit. When something is transformed through the spirit, we see a transformation. Amen. And God wants us to transform. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand. We're going to go home. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have prayer for anybody that feels like they need to step it up. Heavenly Father, I just thank you to God for this conference, for every word that was spoken. Do not let it go on deaf ears. Do not let it go on the wrong soil, God. I pray to God that you would allow this soil to be fertile. That from this day on, somebody will make a decision to serve you with all their heart, oh God. God, I pray to God that you would allow warriors to begin to step up in this city. God, we are in a city that is in desperate need of God. And we pray to God that you would allow us to move forth in God. In Jesus' name. I want to pray for anybody that feels like, you know, that a lot of the things that were spoken were really for you. And I don't want you to be scared in this point, because fear will keep you where you are. But saying, hey, God, I need you to help me be the warrior that you've called me to be. And if that's you, come on up.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.